For those of you that don't know me, my name is Dave Unger, and really that's not important. I'm just a dirt clod that God had mercy on. Amen. Dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. That's all I can be without Christ. But I'm glad that my wife is here, my two boys. And I also just want to say to Pastor Dave, thank you so much for the gracious invitation to have me, brother. And then also, your church opens its doors to the New Horizon Group Home. My wife's on the board of that, and so you guys have been very gracious to host that and to allow us to be able to do that as well. So thank you so much for that. I covered your prayers this week, tonight, as well as Tuesday. Let me encourage you to invite the lost. Let me encourage you to pray for those and ask the Lord to help you bring them to come. And sometimes if you'll just invest a little bit of kindness, it could be a card, an email, a text, or whatever you may do, just to invest in them and pray that God would break down the barriers and ask them to come. Chances are they will. So let me encourage you to do that. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, let's go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And as you're turning there to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, let me just say this is not the first sermon that I would bring on the first day of revival. But as a preacher, you know as well as I do that you don't get to pick what you preach. Amen. And this is a very difficult message. It's a very hard-hitting message. And sometimes when people don't know you, you can come across as being cruel. But in actuality, the greatest thing that anyone can do to love you is tell you the truth. Amen? And I know for a fact that God loves you with all of his heart. And if you were to take all the love in the world, all the pure motives, and all the pure actions that anybody's ever done and put them in a big pile, it would be a dust ball under the Lord's mat and compared to how much he truly loves you and cares for you this morning. Amen. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I heard a story of a man who was a burglar. He broke into a house, and as he was in the house, he had a bag, and he had a flashlight, and he was putting certain things in the bag, and all of a sudden he heard this voice in the darkness, "Jesus is watching you." Well, he turned around and looked, and he couldn't find where the voice was coming from, and so he kind of ignored it and started putting stuff back in the bag, and all of a sudden he heard that voice again, "Jesus is watching you." And he turned his flashlight and saw a parrot in a cage. And he said, "Parrot, is that you talking to me?" And the parrot said, "Yes, that's me talking to you." And he said, "Well, you're a pretty smart parrot. What's your name?" And the parrot said, "Well, my name is Moses." Well, the burglar started laughing and said, "Moses, man, what kind of dumb people would name their parrot Moses?" And he said, "The same dumb people that named their 150-pound Rottweiler Jesus." Amen? Yes, indeed. And 2 Thessalonians is all about not being caught by surprise. You do not want to be caught by surprise. When God's given us an open book test so that we can pass the greatest test in life, and that test is eternal life. That's the greatest assignment that you have in your life, to make sure that you know for a fact, biblically, that you are saved, that you have turned from sin, that you've repented of your sin and put your trust, whole trust in Jesus Christ, his finished work on Calvary's cross, where he took your sin, the world's sin, my sin, and as Peter says, he bore our sin in his body, and the wrath of God, God's full punishment, fell on Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. The Bible says that he shed his blood, and without the shedding of his blood, there is no forgiveness of sin, so that he paid in full, completely, every single sin that has been sin or ever would be sin. Amen. The Bible says that he died, he was buried, and the Bible says that he was raised from the dead. The Bible says that those that come to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And the greatest thing that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to give you is eternal life. Amen. And listen, we have a hope, we have a know-so salvation, not a hope-so, a think-so, a could-be-so. These things are written unto you, 1 John 5:12, that you may know for a fact that you're saved. Not just that verse, but the whole book of 1 John was also written that you may know. The Bible says in Romans 8:16, the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. He wants you to know. Do you know for a fact today that you're biblically, truly born again? You've been made alive again to God by a personal relationship with him. Let's go to the first verse of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. The Bible says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken or stirred in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin, the Antichrist, be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, which is the lie, because the Antichrist is not. Verse 5, remember you not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now lets will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, the Antichrist, whom the Lord shall consume by the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, the Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power. That word all power doesn't mean he's all powerful, but he's coming with Satan's power, which is limited. So he's coming with all the power of Satan. And then it says this, and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, those that go to hell. Why are they going to hell? Listen to what God says now. Because they receive not the love of the truth, the gospel, that they might be saved. And because they rejected the truth, look at verse 11, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. Who's going to send it? God's going to send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, which is the Antichrist saying that he's God, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I want to bring you a message entitled, The Future You Will Face If You Miss the Rapture of the Church. The future you will face if you miss the rapture of the church. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this time that you've given to me. And Lord, I just pray now with all of my heart that you'll touch me, anoint me. Lord, do in me and through me what I cannot muster on my own. Lord, you're very clear that the flesh profits nothing, but Lord, it's your spirit that quickens. So Lord, I just truly pray that your Holy Spirit would come upon these dry bones, and that, Lord, you would breathe into our hearts and lives, Lord, revival. Lord, I just pray for anything that may be smoldering in our hearts, that you'll set that ablaze once again for a passion for you, Lord, a passion to see souls saved. Lord, I just also pray with all my heart, if there's anyone that's dead spiritually, that does not know you as Lord and Savior, maybe they've been churched again, but they've never been born again. Lord, I just truly pray that you would save souls today, that, Lord, they would truly turn from their sin and self and put all of their trust in you, your finished work on Calvary's cross, that you give them the faith to believe that you died and were buried, and that, Lord, you, God, raise your son Jesus from the dead, that they would take their tongue and confess you as Lord and Master, and that, Lord, they would call upon your name and ask you to forgive them so that they could be saved. Lord, I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The future you will face if you miss the rapture of the church. But I've got good news for you. The Lord Jesus Christ does not want you to miss the rapture of the church. The great next prophetic event that's going to take place on God's prophetic calendar is what's known as the rapture of the church, or the second coming of Jesus Christ, or the second advent of Jesus Christ. Now, the first coming is foretold for us in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. The Bible says, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel. That is God with us. It was foretold there, but it was fulfilled in Matthew chapter 1, verse 25. And the Bible says, and Joseph knew not Mary until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and she called him Jesus, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Amen. The one that will save you from your sin. Now, his name was Jesus because he came to save his people in the world from their sins. Now, the first coming of Christ had 333 prophecies concerning that one event, the first coming. Now, it's estimated that one-third of the Bible is Bible prophecy. And the majority of it is not written about the first coming of Christ. The majority of prophecy is written about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the first time he came as a child, he grew up, he lived a perfect life, and he went to the cross to redeem sinners back to himself. But the second time he comes, the Bible says that when he comes, he'll be on a white horse wearing a robe that is dipped in blood, and his name is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's coming to rule and reign on this earth. That's the second time that he comes. Now, let me just say this. Most people get confused when it comes to the rapture and the second coming of Christ. Listen, the second coming of Christ is a group of events that are linked together. Not just one event, but a group or a series of events that are linked together. Now, the beginning of what's theologically known as the second coming of Christ is called the rapture of the church. That's letter A. The second link that makes up the second coming of Christ is what's known as the Great Tribulation. 7 years on this planet where the Antichrist is going to rule and reign. The first 3.5 years are going to be relatively peaceful, but the second 3.5 years, when he has revealed himself at the midpoint by walking into the temple that's going to be rebuilt, declaring himself to be God, that last 3.5 years of the tribulation period is going to be a time of trouble. It's called Jacob's trouble. In fact, it's going to be a time that has never truly happened on this earth, nor will it ever happen again. That's how horrible that's going to be. But that's letter B. That's the second link that makes up the second coming of Christ. The last link that makes up the second coming of Christ is at the end of the tribulation. That's when Jesus is going to come back with his holy angels and flaming fire. We as his saints, who were raptured 7 years earlier, are also going to be with him. We're going to converge at the Battle of Armageddon. The Bible says that the Antichrist and the false prophet are going to be there, and that the Lord is going to destroy the Antichrist by the brightness of his coming, and he's going to slay him by the breath of his mouth. Now, I don't know what the Lord's going to say to the Antichrist on that day, but hopefully something like this: drop dead. Amen? Amen. Now, in order for the physical return of Jesus Christ to take place, in other words, in the rapture, Jesus Christ comes halfway back in the clouds. He's going to take everyone that died in Christ first, and then those of us that are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet them in the air with the Lord. And the Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the beginning of the second event, or the second coming of Christ. But the last one, letter C, in order for Christ to physically return and come all the way back to earth with his saints, his holy angels, the Bible says he's going to put his foot physically on the Mount of Olives once again. In order for that to happen, he says to us in this passage of Scripture, there's three things that have to take place. First of all, there's got to be a great apostasy. Those that said they knew the Lord, but they really didn't. Those that professed that they knew Jesus Christ with their lips, but they did not possess Jesus Christ in their hearts. There's going to be a great falling away. The Bible says that the temple must be rebuilt, the Jewish temple. And then that's when the Antichrist is going to walk in there and to claim himself to be God and want to be worshipped above everything that is called God. The Bible says that the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give her light, and the stars will fall from heaven. Those are the signs that have to take place in order for Jesus to come back with his angels, with his saints, and put his feet on the Mount of Olives. But you hear me. No signs have to be fulfilled in order for the rapture, the very beginning of the second coming of Christ, to be fulfilled. No signs given at all for that event to take place. Are you with me? Now, the Apostle Paul writes to the church of Thessalonica on two occasions. Many people got saved. Paul was run out of town because a riot broke out. They didn't want to hear the truth, some people, and they ran him out of town. But there were a lot of young converts that got born again. So the first time Paul writes to this church, he was writing to confirm the truth of the second coming of Christ and saying, listen, Jesus is coming back for you. The second time, in the book we're in now, that he wrote to this church, he wrote to correct the time of the coming of Jesus Christ. Apparently, according to verse 2, somebody forged a letter, put the Apostle Paul's name on it, and told all those young believers, listen, Jesus has come back for his church. You are now in the great tribulation period, and you have been left behind. And the Bible says that some of them were believing that. So Paul took out his pen under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and corrected them and said, remember, Jesus is not coming physically back to earth. We're not in the tribulation because these signs have to take place. The temple has to be built. The great apostasy. The Antichrist has to be revealed. So cool your jets. You're fine. You're still in the Lord. Amen? So Paul corrected them. But now at the same time, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 is a challenge concerning the return of Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying, get ready, because Jesus Christ is coming. Now, I know a lot of people have heard that. In fact, Peter even says there's people that mock that. But my friend, the Bible says that Jesus is going to come as a thief in the night, and you need to be ready for his return. In fact, the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, "Men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? As you've seen the same Jesus go, he'll come back in like manner." Man, the Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 8, "Be patient, establish your hearts, for the drawing of the Lord comes nigh." The Lord is coming back. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God." The Bible says in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, "Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious return of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." He is coming back again. Amen. Now, to those of us that are saved, to those of us who have turned from sin and self, we surrendered all of us to him. We put all of our trust in his finished work on the cross, believing that he was raised from the dead. You personally went to Christ and asked him to forgive you of your sins. Those of us that are saved, listen to me. This event is going to be the brightest day in our future. But if you're lost, hear me, it'll be the darkest day in yours. To those of us, when we hear about the rapture of the Lord Jesus Christ taking his church, to us, that's a thrill. But if you're lost tonight or this morning, listen to me, it's a threat to you. And Jesus Christ is warning you, lovingly warning you, not to miss this event called the rapture of the church. Amen? Amen. You see, because listen to me. There are people that are all dressed up with all kinds of things, but they're not going up. Or there's some people that have religion, but they don't have a relationship. They have a ritual, but they do not have the righteousness that comes through faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ took our sin. He took our punishment. And when you turn from sin and self, Jesus Christ, in exchange, through his grace and his mercy and his love for you, will give to you his righteousness. So he downloaded our sin into his body, and the Lord Jesus Christ will download his perfect righteousness into your soul by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that you're no longer a sinner, but that you are a saint, beloved, and washed white as snow in the eyes of the Lord. Amen? You see, there's a lot of people that were raised in church, and I talked to one girl, and I said, "When did you get saved?" And she told me, seriously, and I even heard another preacher say a similar story. She says she was 2 years old in a rocking chair, and she says, "My mom and my dad told me that I was saved." And I said, "Well, what do you remember about your salvation? Do you remember that when God convicted you that you were a sinner? Do you remember that God convicted you and convinced you that you were going to hell and that you were in desperate need of his grace and mercy to be saved?" And she said, "I don't remember any of it." Guys, listen to me with all due respect. If you can't remember that, you're not saved. How do I know? Because the Bible says in Timothy, listen to me, "It's God's will that all people come to a saving knowledge of salvation," a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That means a complete knowledge of how to be saved. Amen. God doesn't save people in ignorance. If someone were to say, "Brother Dave, are you married?" I said, "Well, you know, I got this ring on my finger, but I'm just not sure. Did I get married? And what day was that? Did I go to high school?" You see, we remember major events. Amen. Listen to me. You may not remember the exact day, you may not remember the exact hour, but you hear me, you will remember that God convicted you that you were a sinner and that you were in desperate need of his grace and mercy and that you needed to repent and call upon his name to save your soul. Amen? Amen. You couldn't have picked a perfect song today. You must be dressed up in Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen? If you're going to make it to heaven. Now, let's go to verse number 1. There's going to be 4 major events that you're going to face in your future if you miss the rapture. God wants you to know these 4 events so that you don't miss the rapture. But this is what's going to happen to people that don't turn from sin and self and give their heart truly to the Lord Jesus Christ. 4 major events. Look at verse 1. It says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him." Now, guys, this passage of scripture is in future tense. Are you with me? This takes place in the future, our future. This passage of scripture is like a telescope that God lets us look into to be able to see the future. And God wants us to zoom in on a particular group of people who didn't repent of their sin, who rejected the truth, but took pleasure in unrighteousness, as the text says. That's the group of people that we want to focus on, because God's going to show us what's going to happen to those people because they rejected the one and only offer they had to be saved and be forgiven and to have heaven as their home. You hear me now? Listen to me. This group of people is you if you don't repent and truly trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. God does not want to find you in this verse. He's done everything in his power to save you so that you'll not be in this group of people in this verse. Are you with me? Because listen to me. If you turn down Jesus Christ, you will receive Antichrist. Now, guys, listen. I talked to Tim LaHaye's best friend. Tim LaHaye was the one that came out with that movie and basically taught that those that heard the gospel, those that had a chance to repent, and those that didn't repent, that they're going to have a second chance to get saved after the rapture takes place. That is unbiblical. In fact, I talked to Tim LaHaye's best friend, and I said, let me ask you a question. And he said this: I already know what you're going to ask me. You're going to ask me, do you think that people have a second chance after the rapture takes place? And I said, yes, sir. And he says, no, I don't believe that at all. And Tim is my best friend, but that's where we totally disagree. And then I said, well, can I give you some reasons why I disagree? And he says, well, let me give you my reasons first. And they were the same exact reasons, because they're scriptural. Listen to me with all my heart. You don't pick the day that you get saved. Amen. You get saved when Jesus Christ deals with your heart. In fact, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. Jesus also said, no one can come unto me for salvation unless the Father draws him. Amen. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. So God teaches us in his word never to assume or presume that you have the next second, the next minute, the next hour, or the next day to get saved, because you might die. Amen. So that, first of all, teaches us that is untrue, but also this as well. When Jesus Christ convicts you of your sin and tells you that you need to repent because he wants to save you, and you say, Lord, no, I want to wait. I want to sow my wild oats, then I want to go to college. I want to do these things first. Do you really understand what you're saying to the Lord? First of all, you're saying, no, I don't want your salvation. And number two, you're saying, Lord, please give me a license to sin and rebel against you. Let me put you in the freezer, and then when I'm done doing what I want to do, I'll pull you out of the freezer and thaw you out so that then you can save me. Show me in Scripture where the Bible teaches that remotely. It does not. Amen. In fact, when Jesus says repent, the word repent is always used in the sense of immediately, right now. So when God is telling you today is the day of salvation, don't harden your hearts as they did in the provocation or the wilderness, you need to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit telling you that you need to repent, turn from your sin and self, and give your heart to him. Amen? So those are just a few reasons why you're not going to get a second chance after the rapture takes place. I'm also going to show you scripturally, out of this passage of Scripture as well, why that is not true. Amen? Now, the first thing that's going to take place in your future if you miss the rapture is this. Listen, number one, you will be abandoned eternally. You will be abandoned eternally. How do I know? Now, notice what it says in verse 1. Now, remember, this is future tense. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering. Boom. The rapture's just taken place. He's showing us the future together with him. So you're going to be abandoned eternally. Jesus comes in the cloud. The dead in Christ will rise first. Those of us that are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So the rapture is taking place. Now listen, if you're lost, you can expect 100% to be abandoned eternally. And I say that tenderly with all my heart. I was a man that prayed the sinner's prayer 6 times between the age of 13 and 23, convinced that I was saved. And the Lord showed me that I was lost through my brother, my dad, and man, this preacher that I heard preaching. And God revealed to me that the reason why I was lost, even though I was sincere in my prayers all those times, was because I was unwilling to truly turn from sin and self. I felt bad for my sin. I could name my sin, but I wanted Jesus in one hand, but I wanted my party and my nightclub and all that comes with that lifestyle on the other hand. And it doesn't work that way. Amen? There's a lot of people who pray a prayer and come down an aisle, but they're not saved. Man, I came down many aisles, but I was scared, but I wasn't saved. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto me except through what? Jesus, amen? He's the only way to heaven. You see, but I was treating Jesus as the way, the truth, and a ticket out of hell. You see, there's a major difference between being scared and really getting saved. I was scared, so I didn't want to go to hell, but I still wanted to keep my sin and my party. And it doesn't work that way, amen? At all. Now, everybody's not going in the rapture. There's 7 billion people approximately on this planet right here today. And one of the reasons why I know that the majority of them are going to remain here is because of what Jesus said in Matthew 7:13. He said, man, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many go therein at. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and there's few be there that find it. So the majority of the population of this planet is going to stay put when the rapture of the church takes place. So there's a lot of people that know they're not going. They'll tell you, I'm an atheist. I want nothing to do with Christ. They know they're not going. Now, there's a group of people who think they're going, but they're not going to move one iota out of their pew or their seat when the rapture takes place. There's others who have convinced themselves that they're going in the rapture. I was one of those people, but I praise God for straight, flat, footed preaching of the Word of God, and God used it to convict me and to show me my deception. Praise the Lord. Amen. Boy, listen, the greatest wake-up call, the greatest panic in your life is going to be when you come home or you come back to church and those that were truly saved are gone and you have been left behind. You've been abandoned by the Lord. You've been abandoned by all those who were saved. God has only taken those written in the Lamb's Book of Life, according to Revelation 20:15. Listen, you can join a church and stay behind at the rapture. You can pray a prayer, walk down an aisle, and stay behind at the rapture. Listen, as I said before, I walk down many aisles. Listen, you can do good deeds and stay behind at the rapture. You can be a Catholic, a Pentecostal, a Baptist, an Episcopalian, a Presbyterian, a Methodist, and whatever else you want to call yourself, because listen to me, your denomination does not change your destination at all. It is the fact that you have turned from sin and self and you have put your whole trust, your whole heart in Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross for your sins as that payment. Amen? Listen, God is not interested in your denomination. He's interested in your destination. And my friend, the only way that you can get to heaven is through Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Period. Amen? Now, where does the word rapture come from, Brother Dave? I've read my Bible many years, and I've never seen the word rapture. Well, guess what? I've never seen it either. But let me show you where it comes from. In 1 Thessalonians, one book over, chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, listen to what the Word of God says now. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be, listen now, shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That word caught up there in the Latin is where we get the word rapere. It's where we get our English translation rapture from. Now, in the Greek, the word is harpazo. The technical term rapture is never used, but the definition of the rapture is, and it's in those two words, caught up. And when you look up what it means to seize. It means to snatch up by force. It gives the idea of somebody kidnapping somebody because they do it quickly, they do it forcefully, and they do it violently. That's the word caught up in the air. So its definition is taught in the Word of God. So if Jesus were to come while I was preaching, he would take every true born again believer with him in this building today. But let me ask you, do you know for a fact that you know that you know that you know that you are truly saved and that you would go in the rapture right now if Jesus were to come? You see, because listen, this abandonment is going to be catastrophic. Think about that for a second when Jesus takes every true born again believer off this planet. I mean, could you imagine two airplane pilots, a co-pilot, and a pilot truly being saved, flying in a plane 35,000 feet, and they're gone, and there's no one to fly that plane? Could you imagine a train driver and a conductor truly being born again, and they're out of that train, and that train's going down the tracks at 50 miles an hour with no one to stop it? Could you imagine the freeways with all those people doing 60, 80 miles an hour and true born-again believers being raptured out of their car with that car being a missile going down that road with no one to put the brakes on? I'm telling you, it's going to be catastrophic. Could you imagine if you're lost and you're laying out on a table and you're having open-heart surgery and that surgeon and that nurse is truly born again and they're gone and they're right at the crucial place in your operation that you need that man's skill and he's gone. And no one else to come in that room and help you with your surgery. Every woman that's pregnant is going to have an empty womb. All their babies are going to be missing and gone. Teenagers are going to come home, and there's some that have the attitude, hey, I want to do what I want to do. Well, guess what? If your mom and dad are saved, you'll have all the opportunity to do whatever you want to do because there's going to be there no one to tell you ever again what to do. And guys, that's the reality. This is not Hollywood. This is not some movie that cost $150 million to put together. This is not some production. This is the holy word of God. Amen. Boy. My friend, listen to me. You will be abandoned forever by your family that's saved, by your friends that were saved, and unfortunately, you will be abandoned by the God that loved you, that sent his son to die for you so that you could be saved and know him as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says that this is going to happen quicker than you can blink an eye. How do I know? Listen to this now. How fast is it going to happen, Brother Dave? 1 Corinthians 15:51, listen. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now that word moment there in the Greek is atomos. And it literally means it's so small that you can't even cut it. And it's used to talk about the smallest particle of time. And then the Bible says the twinkling of the eye. We get the word jerk of the eye from that word in the Greek. And the jerk of the eye, when you talk to an eye doctor, is this. They say that you have to have a high-speed camera to focus on your eye, and just before your eye blinks, it jerks slightly, and then it closes completely. There's a little jerk. Jesus Christ is talking about that little slight jerk before your eye closes. So in other words, God says that your mortal body is going to be transformed into an immortal body before you can even blink your eye. That's how fast you'll be gone off this planet. Wow. Wow. Amen. That word, rapier, is where we get our English term rapid from. So you can sit in this Sunday morning service, Jesus come back, and before you blink, be left behind. It can happen so fast that you can say a prayer and not have time to be born again. In fact, Jesus himself said in Revelation 22:7, behold, I come quickly. Revelation 22:12, behold, I come quickly. Revelation 22:20, surely I come quickly, the Bible says. In fact, he goes on to say, and he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. And the Bible says in Matthew 24:9, and they knew it not until the flood came. Boy, there's a lot of people in Noah's day that were shocked and surprised when the flood came. In fact, Jesus said, it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. And then the Bible says in Genesis 7:16, now listen to this verse. This is crucial. Now listen. It says, and those that entered the ark were male and female, as God commanded him. Listen to me. Jesus Christ is your ark of salvation. Jesus commands you to believe in him, to put your trust in him, to turn from sin, and to put your trust in the ark of the only salvation that's offered, and that's Jesus Christ himself. Amen. Listen to me. It goes on and it says this. After he went in because God commanded him, the Lord closed the door behind him. Who closed the door of the ark? God did. And what God shuts, no one can open. Jesus said, I'm the door. He's the only door to get into heaven. Amen. And that door right now is wide open to you. And you can come into the ark of salvation before the flood of the great tribulation hits this planet. And Jesus Christ permanently shuts that door on those that don't get saved. He wants you to be saved. Amen. I want you to be saved. Pastor Dave wants you to be saved. If you're saved in this building today, you want others to be saved. And most of all, God wants you saved. Amen? Listen, you'll be abandoned eternally, but number two, you'll also be allured into a total state of deception. You're going to face a total deception. You'll be allured into a total state of deception. Look at verse number 9. It says, and the coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist, is according to the working of Satan, with all the power of Satan, signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deceptions. You see, somebody's going to have to come on the scene and explain why there's all these open graves. Why are all these open cars on the freeway? Why are these homes just left abandoned? What in the world took place? It was a worldwide catastrophic event. Someone's going to have to come on the scene and explain where all these people went. Well, Satan's got the supercharged Superman called the Antichrist to do that very thing. Boy, look at verse 9. It says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. Now listen, with all Satan's power and signs and lying wonders. Now listen to this. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. When you look up that in the Greek, it literally means this. every evil that can deceive, he'll have available to him to deceive people on this planet. Now look at me, look at verse 10. And because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. What's the truth that saves, church? It's the gospel, amen? Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all those who believe, to the Jew first, and then also to the Gentile. What's the power of God unto salvation? It's the gospel. That's the truth that saves, amen? And notice in verse 10, they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now listen, these are the people who didn't get saved before the rapture. Now listen to what God says. And for this cause, why? They didn't repent. They didn't trust in Christ. God shall send them strong delusion that they must believe the lie. And my friend, when you believe the lie, you reject Jesus Christ, God tells you, you will receive Antichrist. Boy, some of you might say, well, Brother Dave, I'll take my chances. Well, listen, when you take your chance, and let's just say it was true, but it's not, why would you want to get your head cut off when you can just bow your heart and knee today and get saved? Amen? Because that's what's going to happen to people that get saved during the tribulation. But you hear me, it's going to only be people that didn't have a chance to hear the gospel. It's going to only be people that didn't have a chance to repent of their sin and trust Christ. Those are the people that are going to have a chance. But in this day, in dispensation of grace, the Word of God teaches us that if you reject Jesus Christ and the rapture comes, you will be abandoned and you will be allured into total deception. And God says he is going to see to it himself. God shall send them, those that reject my son, those that reject the gospel, a strong delusion. Wow. The strong delusion might, but he might get on the, well, it was UFOs that came and took everybody. I mean, I don't know what the Antichrist is going to say, but I'm not going to be here to worry about it. Amen. Boy, now the lie is that the Antichrist is God. The fact the Bible says in Revelation 13 that he received a wound, that he died, and that he was raised from the dead. You see, Satan always wants to mock and mimic the Lord. And so the Bible says in Revelation 13, verse 12, listen, and he, the false prophet, that's his crony, the Antichrist, exercises all power of the Antichrist before him. Listen, and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, the Antichrist, whose deadly wound was healed, and he does great wonders so that he maketh fire to come down in the presence of all men. Wow. And my friend, the Bible says that those miracles are going to be so convincing that if God didn't have mercy on those that were saved, even the very saved could be deceived themselves, but God is going to cut those days short so that does not happen. Amen? So listen to me. This supercharged Superman called the Antichrist is serious, and he's coming with the power of Satan. He's not all-powerful. He's limited, but yet, nevertheless, he's still a foe that we need to pay attention to. Amen? Now listen to me. If you miss the rapture, if you turn down Jesus Christ, you will receive Antichrist according to the Word of God. Wow. The Bible says, prove it, all right? I'm going to prove it to you. Revelation 13, verse 3, and all the world wondered after the beast. After the rapture took place, all of the world, those that were left behind, all wondered and worshiped the beast. That's what God's word says, not me. Amen? Listen to me. Well, Brother Dave, do you really think that one man can rule the world? Oh, I do. Why do you believe that? Well, listen, if you look at history, Jim Jones led over 900 people, told all those people a lie and said that he was their savior, he was their messiah, led them down to South America, and 900 people drank Kool-Aid with cyanide in it, and they gave their lives for a lie. David Koresh had people who had lawyers and master's degrees, people who were not dumb, in that compound, and they burned to death believing that David Koresh was their savior. Man, my friend, listen to me. Satan got Judas Iscariot by possessing him to crucify, help crucify our Lord and to betray him. My friend, listen, when worldwide famine hits this planet, you have people right now lined up at Disney World amusement parks to get a little stamp on their hands so they can get back in. I'm telling you right now, when babies are starving, when people are starving, and the Bible says that no man can sell, no man can buy or do anything unless they receive the mark of the beast on their forehead or their right hand. My friend, people are going to line up in groves to get that mark on their hand so they can buy and sell for their family. Amen? And God's word says he's going to rule for 7 years on this planet. But let's move on, number three. Not only will you be abandoned, and not only will you be allured into deception, but number three, you'll also be annihilated physically. You'll experience physical annihilation. How do I know? All right, look at chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Now, and you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Now listen, only he, as a personal pronoun, who now restrains, will restrain until he, the Antichrist, be taken out of the way. Now, there's many opinions, and I'll not be dogmatic, but I personally believe that withholdeth iniquity on this planet is the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? The Bible says that you're the salt and the light of the earth. Jesus Christ uses your life to expose darkness, to expose people's sin. The Spirit of God brings conviction of sin, the judgment to come. So he uses the church to hold back iniquity. But he who restrains, I believe, is the Holy Spirit. And now with the church gone, according to this verse, I like what one preacher said. He goes, it would be as if a warden of a prison got tired of his job and said, you know what? I'm sick of taking care of all these criminals. I'm sick of taking care of all these psychos. I don't want to be around them anymore. So he opens up every jail cell and lets them all out to do whatever they want to do to society. And my friend, when the Holy Spirit holds back his restraining power with the church gone, I'm telling you, Hades is going to break out on this planet. And that's when all the judgments of God begin to fall on this planet. Now, hear me, for time's sake, let me just take you to this very quickly. What are people going to face when it comes to physical annihilation? Well, Revelation chapter 6, the Bible says there's going to be a worldwide famine. The Bible says that the sunlight's going to be put out. The moon's going to turn to blood. And the Bible says that the sea and the stars are going to fall from heaven. And then in chapter 9, the Bible says that men are tortured for 5 months and they will seek to die, but yet the Lord's going to keep them from dying. And they're going to have the sting of a scorpion. And that sting is going to last for 5 months. Oh, it gets worse. The Bible says at that time, in chapter 9, the third of the world population is completely wiped out and annihilated. And then in chapter 16, the Bible says there's going to be hailstones. Conservatively, Bible scholars say that the least they could weigh is 90 pounds coming out of heaven on to men and to women that are left behind. And the Bible says that there's going to be the water turns to blood and every sea creature in the ocean dies. You talk about the red tide and how stinky that is. Could you imagine every sea creature in the plant on the planet and the oceans of the world all being washed up on sea? Miles and miles and miles and miles of dead sea creatures. This planet's going to stink horribly. And my friend, listen to me. The Bible says that men will receive sores. They'll be scorched alive because, man, the ozone's going to be pulled back. The Bible says there's going to be pains in their tongue. Then the Bible says in chapter 14, verse 9 and 11, that there's a earthquake, a worldwide earthquake that's going to be so catastrophic. The Bible says all the islands are going to be fled away. So in other words, there's going to be tsunamis hitting all these islands. And the Bible says there'll be no islands left on that day. In fact, in Jerusalem, the Bible says there's an earthquake that has never happened before that is so catastrophic that it's going to split that city in three different ways. And my friend, chaos is going to hit this planet. Wow. My friend, you don't have to be here for any of it. Amen. You can miss all this stuff because Jesus Christ and his love for you. Let me give you my last point and I'm done. Number four, not only will you be abandoned, not only will you be allured into deception, not only will you be annihilated physically, but number four, you'll be in eternal agony in hell. You'll be in eternal agony in hell for the rest of your life, forever and ever. How do I know, Brother Dave? Look at what it says now. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 and 12. This is God's word. Listen to it. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and them that perish, those that go to hell. Why are they going to hell again, Brother Dave? Because they receive not the love of the truth, the gospel, that they might be saved. And for this cause, what cause? Because they didn't repent, because they wanted their sin and their self. God shall send them strong delusion that they must believe the lie, that they might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That could have been me. After God showed me I was lost, I fought three times and said no to him three times because I wanted to keep smoking cigarettes, because I wanted to keep chasing women and having all the benefits that came with that. I wanted to keep drinking and getting drunk. And so for me, I had a lifestyle of partying, and I didn't want to let it go. I said no 3 times after Jesus showed me I was lost. But I praise God. There was a man who preached the Word of God, and he used an illustration. He said, I have a friend that used to take in starving dogs. He goes, you know the old adage, don't bite the hand that feeds you? He said he would take in dogs that had mange, and he would pay all this money to get them back to health. But as he would feed them, because they were so used to scrapping and they found them on the streets, that they would literally bite his hand so he had to wear a leather glove. And I remember saying to myself as a 23-year-old man at Westside Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, on December 30th, 1990, the day I got saved, I said, man, if I took a starving dog like that into my house, and I spent all that money on that dog, and he was ungrateful and treated me that way, I'd get rid of that dog in a heartbeat. And I remember a piercing thought went through my mind. I didn't hear a voice or have a feeling, but a piercing thought, and I believe it was God that put it there. And this was that thought. You're that dog, Dave. And all I've been doing is reaching my hand down to you for 23 years. All the food that you have, every stitch of clothing that you have on your back, every success that you've ever had in life, I've given that to you in spite of your rebellion against me. Amen. My friend, listen to me. When it comes to hell, hell is forever. I want you to hear what God says, Revelation 14, verse number 9. If anyone receives the mark of the beast and his image and receives the mark of on his forehead or his right hand, he himself shall also drink of the wrath of God, which is poured out in full into the strength of his cup and of his indignation, and shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and there shall be no rest day or night. Those that who worship the beast and his image and receive the mark of his name. Now, guys, let me just read one more thing, and I'm done. Are you saved? Are you truly born again? Have you truly had that time where you said, God, I am guilty. Lord, you're the only one that can save me. Lord, forgive me. Save me. I do believe that you were raised from the dead. I do believe that you're Lord. I confess you as my Lord, and Lord, I'm asking you to save me. Have you truly done that? Listen to this. David Jeremiah, in his book, Escaping the Coming Night, said this, there is no second chance for those who heard the gospel and refused it. The Bible teaches those who have heard the gospel before the rapture and rejected Jesus Christ will not have an opportunity to be saved after the rapture. Ironside says, you have heard the name of Christ your whole life, yet you have never definitely decided for Christ. If Jesus were to come today, you will be among those who receive Antichrist. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Do you know Jesus Christ truly as your Lord and Savior? My wife's testimony, as she was raised in church, the Lord spoke to her and said, you got 1 foot in church, you got 1 foot in the world, but you have neither in my son Jesus. Some of you may have been raised in church your whole life, but you have never definitely decided to surrender all of you to all of him. Has God revealed to you today that you need to be saved and that you need to repent of your sin and put your trust in him? I want to say a prayer. This prayer in and of itself does not save you, but if you want to be saved, Jesus Christ wants to save you. That's his desire. That's why he came. He'll forgive you, and the Bible says, if anyone be in Christ, behold, he's a new creation. Old things pass away. All things become new. You got to be willing to turn from sin and self and believe in what he did for you. And the Bible says he'll forgive you, and he'll change your life forever. Is that you this morning? Let me pray this. If you want to be saved, I want you to pray this with me. As the music begins to play softly, I want you to pray this prayer if you want to be saved. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. And I believe that you went to the cross. On the cross, you died for all of my sins, past, present, and future. And Lord, I believe that you shed your blood that I might have complete forgiveness of all my sins. And Lord, I believe that you died. I believe that you were buried. And with all my heart, I believe that you were raised from the dead by God. And Lord, I'm sorry for my sins against you. And I'm willing right now to turn from all my sins and surrender all of me of you. I'm confessing you as Lord. Save me. Change me forever. With no one looking around, I'll not embarrass you. But if you prayed to receive Christ in a real way today to be saved, I want you to raise your hand and say, Brother Dave, I prayed to receive Christ today. Anybody at all say, Brother Dave, yes, sir, I see your hand. Anybody else say, Brother Dave, I prayed to receive Christ in a real way today. Anybody else at all? All right, in just a moment, we're going to have you guys stand. We're going to have an invitation. Those of you that have raised your hand, I want you to come. And the Bible says that Jesus called everybody publicly. And listen, if you can't take a stand in church, hear my heart. Listen, Jesus will help you. Everybody in this church that say, we'll rejoice. We'll rejoice. I know how scary that can be. But let me encourage you to come forward and let our pastor here know the decision that you made. He'll love to talk with you. I'll want to talk with you about your decision to make sure that you understood what that decision truly is and what it entails. But I just want to say with all my heart that I rejoice in the greatest decision that one can make, and that is giving their heart and life to Christ. So let me encourage you to come. If somebody brought you, and just reach over and say, hey, will you walk down the aisle with me? But we want to rejoice in your decision that you've made. Church, let me just ask you this as we're about to stand. How's your heart with God? How's your devotion to the Lord? Are you a hit and miss kind of Christian that just says, well, you know, I'll just come every other Sunday or every now and then, or I really don't need Wednesdays or Sundays as much as I used to? You know, all that says to the Lord is that you truly are taking care of life on your own. And we need the Lord. Amen. And if you have a gift and you're not here, then this body's going to suffer, because God's giving you a particular gift that he wants you to use to help serve this body. Where's your heart at for souls? When's the last time that you truly have prayed for souls? My brother was a drug dealer, a drunk, and a drug addict. The world had rejected him. Most people wrote him off. Most people said that, man, he would never get saved. And God used a gospel tract at a post office to lead my brother to the Lord. And my brother led my family and also me to the Lord. A gospel track. Don't tell me that God doesn't give up, because he doesn't. And I know that sometimes you pray for people and it just seems like their life gets worse than better, but let me encourage you to keep praying. Pray for souls. Pray for the leadership of this church. Pray that God would move in revival in hearts and lives. So as we stand, I want you to know these altars are going to be open. I'll be here to pray with you, to receive you. Pastor also will be down here as well. But if you made that decision in Christ to get saved, let me encourage you to come, and man, we'll rejoice with you. And Christian, let me just say this to you. I want you to do three things if you come. I want you to say, Lord, thank you for speaking to me today. Number two, Lord, whatever God's revealed in your heart and life, I want you to say, Lord, I want you to do in me and through me what I can't do for myself. But Lord, I'm willing to do what you told me that I need to do today. And then number three, come. And just thank the Lord for his love. Thank the Lord for his salvation. Maybe there's souls that need to be prayed for. But listen, the Bible says that revival is not an individual thing, but if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will heal their land. So let me encourage you to come and pray. God spoke to your heart.